through 6. And it says, "Sing to God, sing praise to His name, extol Him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before Him." And we've done that this morning. We're able to engage in worship and praise His name. It says, "A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land." I love this idea that God has created us for relationship, and then He's given us a way to live out that relationship. The relationship is best practiced in the context of families. So just like the love shared between the Trinity overflows into creation, so the love between a husband and wife overflows into creation, doesn't it? And so, to see kind of how that family life sometimes is, I want to show you a quick video. When families disconnect, they connect. There's a powerful truth to that. Our families, the primary purpose of a family is to know and be known, right? To share love, to live in relationship. And as I mentioned before, some families are far from that reality. But what does God do? He takes the lonely and puts them into a new family. Our family. A church family. He takes the lonely and puts them into a church family. So what does that have to do with outreach? Well, I believe the foundation of church ministry is relational. In order to create those relationships, we need to be observational. Okay? We need to be looking. We need to notice those we don't know. It's seemingly easy. I mean, observation is easy, right? All you have to do is keep your eyes open and look at the thing that you're observing, and there you go. But some of us are too broke to pay attention. Some of us don't know what we're looking at all the time. We don't realize what it is that we're seeing. And so noticing those we don't know means that we have to first see those we are trying to reach out to. We have to look at the families in our neighborhoods. We have to give attention to the lost and to those who are far from God. But the first step is to see them. And so trust me, it's harder than it sounds. It takes deliberate thinking on our part, a new frame of mind to be on the lookout for people we don't know. One of the ways that I have been deliberate now that are kind of entering into summertime weather. One of the ways that I have been deliberately noticing those I don't know is on the playground. I take my kids to the playground a lot because it's free. And we love to play lava tag. It's just tag where you can't touch the ground. It's a lot of fun. At the playground, inevitably someone will show up, right? Somebody I don't know. And I have to be, pay attention to these folks who enter into my life because I'm called to relate to them. I'm called to notice those I don't know. So even though I am naturally an introvert and I'm becoming more so the older I get, I have to just swallow my natural leanings and force myself to take the initiative to talk with someone, to break the ice. You know, most of the time they have a kid with them because it's a playground. And the conversation, it really is quite natural. You know, I could just start with, how old is she? Sorry, he. How old is he? Do you guys live around here? Do you have any plans for the summer? Are you Calvinist or Arminian? Right, like to throw that in there. Oh, good. Good, you go to Eagle Brook. And that is good, seriously. That is good. When people are connected to a church family, we want to encourage that and more power to that. We're not trying to steal Christians from other churches to come to our church. We're interested in those we don't know. We're interested in those who don't know God. Right? I heard a great suggestion once from a speaker one time that I can't remember. He said the best way to get to know someone is to simply ask, where are you from? Very easy question. Where are you from? And that question opens up the doors to many other questions, and before you know it, you're conversing. The hardest part, it's really just taking that step of initiative. Breaking the ice with a little conversation. We just have to take that extra step. And once we get to know someone, it's good to follow up with that new relationship. It's, you know, maybe you can offer to assist them in some way or ask them if they're in need of prayer for anything. You can invite them to church. Here's an idea, huh? Invite them to our backyard barbecues coming up this August, on Wednesday nights in August. That's definitely a low-pressure, low-key thing to invite someone to. You can invite them to VBS if they have kids or if they know kids. At the very worst, they'll say no thanks. I mean, I suppose worse things could happen. But the point is, we're not going to be dealing with hurt feelings here. We're just offering an invitation. And people can accept it or deny it. We just go on to the next person. So notice those you don't know. Initiate a conversation and follow up if possible. I want to look at John 17. And in this passage, Jesus is praying for his followers. Now, it's not necessarily his last prayer that he ever spoke. But in the Gospel of John, it's recorded as the way it's recorded is right after this prayer, Jesus is arrested and taken off to trial. And so it's sort of a swan song of sorts, a final prayer for Jesus. You know, all throughout the Gospels, we read about Jesus going off by himself to pray. It kind of begs an interesting question. Well, if Jesus is God, as you know, we talked about with the Trinity, if he is God, why does he have to go pray to God? But the answer to that lies in the fact that God is relational, right? Jesus is going off to pray to cultivate and promote and engage in relationship with his Father. That's why he does it. He wants to know his Father. And he wants to be known by him. So God is relational. And here Jesus is concerned about the relationships of his disciples. So I'm going to read from John 17, start at verse 14. Jesus is praying to God. He says, I have given them, his disciples, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. So did you catch that? I'm going to read verse 15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. So, you know, sometimes we use our faith as a form of escapism. We see the suffering and the pain of the world and around us, and so we retreat to the safety of our homes or our churches. And we board up the windows and lock the doors and turn off the lights, and we sort of just huddle there. But because we do that because we don't want to have any part of the junk that's out there. But Jesus doesn't want us to remove ourselves. His prayer is that we would be protected. The prayer is that God would keep us from the evil one, not keep us in our safe shelters. And so, I want to read verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. So think about that. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. So my wife can send me to the grocery store, and I'll get the stuff that's on the list, probably the right stuff. But it's not like that sending, is it? We're sent just like Jesus was sent. Jesus was sent to what? To establish the kingdom of God on earth. He was sent to bring people into relationship with God. And we are sent just like he was sent. We are sent to do the same things. We're called to engage in the junk. So we shouldn't shy away or be afraid of the drunkards or the prostitutes. We shouldn't we shouldn't be afraid of the addicts and the outcasts. We should be embracing those folks, talking with those folks. And we don't have to be afraid, because Jesus says we'll be sanctified by his word. Sanctified by his truth. If we're living our lives in the word of God, we can engage in the junk without fear because we're protected. We're protected by the truth of God. And so we have the freedom to be able to be in the world, but not of the world. We need to notice those we don't know. So we need to observe the hurting and the lost that are really on our doorsteps. They're all around us if we have the eyes to see them. We need to talk with them about something. Where are you from? You know, initiate a conversation with them and then follow up. If all your friends are Christians, you need to get a few more friends. Keep those Christian friends. They're awesome. They're great. But get a few more. Add a few more to your list. Step out into the mess. Because that's what Jesus did. And we are sent like Jesus was sent. Now, I have known many churches over the years, and I've been a part of a few. I want to tell you all something honestly and openly about this church. This church is stuffed to the brim with kind-hearted, warm, and caring people. I've experienced myself, you know, I've been here about a year now. My family and I have just loved the warmth and the acceptance that we found here. It's just been wonderful. I don't know if it's something that you've had to develop over the years or what, but there is something special about this congregation. And I want you to know that. Something holy. God has blessed this church with an incredible capacity to accept and welcome the stranger. You all have warm hearts and long arms for hugging. But it's we're like a wonderful treasure hidden. We're Forest Lake's best kept secret. We really are. And I want to encourage you as we go out of these doors today to take your welcoming spirit with you out there. You know, embrace and welcome those you find at the grocery store. Or extend a hand to the mom who is trying to wrangle her kids. Strike up a conversation. Get to know those people. I want to challenge you, seriously challenge you, to invite someone into your home for a meal. Okay? Notice those you don't know and invite them to your home for a meal. Food is a great bridge builder. Food is a wonderful tool, wonderful opportunity for us. And I think hospitality is largely a lost art in our modern, you know, high-tech culture, kind of like the video we just watched. Everyone's got their face in their device. And so we don't think about our hospitality in the same way. But that's why I think it's more important now than ever. That face-to-face interaction and preparing our homes and cooking a meal and spending time in conversation. These are holy acts. And these are acts of worship because when we do them, we are living out what God created us to do. My wife and I, we moved this last January. No, it wasn't January. Over the winter. And we've finally been able to meet our neighbors now after this, after the winter hibernation. Everyone's out of their homes now. We get to see that there's life on our street. And we're incredibly thankful for our house. You know, it's not a mansion, but it allows us to host people, to have them over, to get to know them. And over the years, my wife and I have kind of, we've come to this place where we see the place that we live as a tool. Our house is not a place for us to live. It's a place for us to facilitate relationships. It's a place for us to get to know those we don't know. You know, of course, the relationships that exist in our house between my wife and I and our kids, those relationships need to be cultivated. But also, those we don't know. So I want to challenge you to take the time, take the efforts, because it takes time and effort, to notice someone you don't know and invite them into your home. You know, have a conversation with them and follow up. Have them over for dinner. Get to know them. So if you don't know your neighbors, start with them. If you do know your neighbors, start with someone further down the street or maybe in a different neighborhood. But go out into the world. Okay? I can't help you host dinner, necessarily. I could help you eat it. I'd love to do that. But I do want to help you with the follow-up part of this process. So I don't know if we can get some ushers or somebody to hand out. I have just a sheet here. This is sort of our summer activities at church here. And you can take this with you. I want you to take this with you. I want you to take a bunch of them with you. And get them out of this building so that they're not here. Because we don't want them in here. We want them out there. So you initiate a conversation with someone, and then you have something to give them, something to invite them back to, something to follow up with. You can hand it out to people, you can give them this thing, or you can just share some of the information that's on there. I do have some postcards here. These are not ready yet. They're coming out probably in a week. And these are for our kids' ministries, our VBS coming up this summer, and some of the other things going on during the school year. It's important for us to be able to have relationships with people before we invite them to our stuff. And so I will have a postcard for us to hand out to people later on. For now, we have this sheet that we're passing out. And I want you to take them, take a bunch of them, and keep them in your car, keep them in your purse, keep them somewhere handy so that whenever you meet somebody, wherever you meet them, You have something to follow up with. Okay, so take him out of here and put him to good use. Deal?
Deal.
All right, I like that. Now, maybe you're here today and you feel like you're not really a part of this family. And maybe you're not sure about this Jesus. And that's okay. That's okay. We are here to answer some of the questions that you might have. We're here to help you see who God is, to help you know what He has done. God is calling me, and He's calling you, and He's calling everyone in this room into a relationship with Himself. And that's the amazingness of our God. The Creator of the universe wants to know you. And I want to encourage you to say yes to His invitation. Say yes to His call. Enter into relationship with Him. If you want to know more about how to do that, do not hesitate to come down to talk with me. Steve Ruder has agreed to speak with, he'll be down here at the altar. He's a great person to talk to if you have some questions about faith or just anything in that realm. We'd love to pray with you and just get you acclimated to some of the things that we talk about here. So say yes to God this morning. Good. Now, noticing those we don't know, it's a way of life. It affects our every day. So it's not, you know, trust me, I am not there yet. I'm in process. And I want to tell you that once you do break the ice, once you begin the process, it does get easier. Like anything else with practice, it gets easier and easier and better and better. So I want you just to imagine for a moment if we all went out and we all brought a new friend to church. If the faces that we see at church are unfamiliar or new to us. Now, maybe that's a little bit uncomfortable. And that's okay. But we need to sort of live into that uncomfort a little bit. So imagine if we brought some new people to church. Imagine if we took this best kept secret and let it out of the box and shared it with our community. Imagine what could happen. If we never sow seeds, we'll never see fruit. If we want to harvest, there are some steps we have to take. Notice those you don't know. Initiate a conversation with them and follow up. Follow up. Pray with me quickly. God, we thank You that You want to know us. That You sent Your Son to die, to rise again, so that You could know us, that we could know You. Father, help us to live into that role of facilitating relationships with those we don't know. Empower us by Your Spirit. Give us courage, Lord. Give us the words to say. Give us the conversations to have. We know that You put these people into our lives every day. Give us the eyes, Lord, to see them. We love You, Lord. Amen.